Symphony from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. Symphony, also known colloquially as kettle drums or kettle drums, are musical instruments in the percussion family. A type of drum, they consist of skin, called head, stretched over the large bowl commonly made of copper. They are played by striking the head with a specialised drumstick called a timpani stick or timpani mallet. Unlike most drums, they produce a definite pitch when struck and can be tuned, often with the use of a pedal. Timpani evolved from military drums to become a staple of the classical orchestra by the last third of the 18th century. Today, they are used in many types of musical ensembles, including concerts, marching, and even some rock bands. Timpani is an Italian plural, the singular of which is timpano. However, this is rarely used in visiting English speech, as a timpano is typically referred to as a drum, a timpani, or simply a tim. A musician who plays the timpani is known as a timpanist. Section 1. Alternative spellings. Alternative spellings with Y in place of I's in two places, or one of those, is T-Y-M-P-A-N-I, or T-Y-M-P-A-N-Y, or T-I-M-P-A-N-Y, are occasionally encountered in older English texts. This substitution is taken from the Latin word timpano, from which the Italian word descends.
While the word timpani has been widely adopted in the English language,
some English speakers choose to use the word kettle drums. The German word for timpani is tauten, and the French is timbales. Section 2. Construction. Part 1. Basic timpano.
The basic timpano consists of a drum head stretched across the opening of a bowl typically made of copper, or in less expensive models, fiberglass and sometimes aluminium. On rare occasions, and primarily for drums presented to an ensemble, silver bowls have been produced. In the Sachs-Holm-Bostel classification, the timpani are thus considered membranophones. The drum head is affixed to a hoop, also called a flesh hoop, which in turn is held onto the bowl by a counter hoop, which is then held by means of a number of tuning screws called tension rods, placed regularly around the circumference. The head's tension can be adjusted by loosening or tightening the rods. Most timpani have 6 to 8 tension rods.
The shape of the bowl contributes to the tone quality of the drum. For example, hemispheric bowls produce brighter tones, while parabolic bowls produce darker tones. Another factor that affects the timbre of the drum is the quality of the bowl's surface. Copper bowls may have a smooth, machined surface or a rough surface with many small dents hammered into it. Timpani come in a variety of sizes, from about 84 cm 33 inches in diameter up to piccolo timpani of 30 cm 12 inches or less. A 33-inch drum can produce the C below bass clef, and speciality piccolo timpani can play up into the treble clef. In Darius Milhaud's 1923 ballet score, The Création du Monde, the timpanist must play the F sharp at the bottom of the treble clef. Each individual drum typically has a range of a perfect fifth to an octave. Section 2, Part 2, Machine Timpani. Changing the pitch of a timpano by turning each tension rod individually is a laborious process. In the late 19th century, mechanical systems to change the tension of the entire head at once were developed. Any timpani equipped with such a system may be called a machine timpani, although this term commonly refers to the drums that use a single handle connected to a spider-type tuning mechanism. Section 2, Part 2, Section 1. Pedal timpani. By far the most common type of timpani used today are pedal timpani, which allow the tension of the head to be adjusted using a pedal mechanism. Typically, the pedal is connected to the tension screws via a spider-like system of metal rods. There are three types of pedal mechanism in common use today. The ratchet clutch system uses a ratchet and pull to hold the pedal in place. The timpanist must first disengage the clutch before using the pedal to turn the drum. When the desired pitch is achieved, the timpanist must then re-engage the clutch. In the balance action systems, a spring or hydraulic cylinder is used to balance the tension on the timpani head so that the pedal will stay in position and the head will stay at pitch. The pedal on a balanced action drum is sometimes called a floating pedal, since there is no clutch holding it in place. The friction clutch, or post and clutch system, uses a clutch that moves along a post. Disengaging the clutch frees it from the post, allowing the pedal to move without restraint. Any pedal drums that are tuned using the spider system can be called Dresden timpani, though the term is most often used for drums whose design is similar in origin to the pedal timpani but in Dresden. Strictly speaking, a Dresden drum has a pedal that is attached at the player's side. The timpanist can move this pedal with an ankle motion.
A Berlin-style pedal is attached by means of a long arm to the opposite side of the drum, and the timpanist must use his entire leg than just the pitch. The drums that most professional timpanists use are dressed in timpani, commonly with a ratchet clutch or friction clutch pedal. Most school bands and orchestras below the university level use cheaper, more durable timpani. The mechanical parts of these timpani are almost completely contained within a frame of the bowl of the drum. They may use any of the pedal mechanisms, though to be balanced action systems is by far the most common, followed by the friction clutch system. Many professionals also use these drums for gigs and outdoor performances because of their durability. Section 2, Part 2, Section 6, Chain Timpani. On chain timpani, the tension rods are connected by a roller chain, much like the one found on a bicycle, though some manufacturers have used other materials, including steel cables. In these systems, all the tension screws could then be tightened or loosened by one handle. Though far less common than pedal timpani, chain and cable drums still have practical uses. Occasionally, a player is forced to place a drum behind other items so that he cannot reach it with his foot. Professional players may also use exceptionally large or small chain and cable drums for special low or high notes. Section 2, Part 2, Section 3, Other Tuning Mechanisms. A rare tuning mechanism allows the pitch of the head to be changed by rotating the drum itself. A similar system is used on rotor toms. Jenko, a company better known for mallet percussion, made timpani tuned in this fashion. In the early 20th century, Hans Steller, then timpanist of the Vienna Philharmonic, developed a tuning mechanism in which the bowl is moved by a handle that connects to the bass, and the head remains stationary. These drums are referred to as the Viennese timpani, or Wiener Pauken, or Schneller timpani. Adams Musical Instruments developed a pedal-operated version of this tuning mechanism in the early 21st century. Section 2, Part 3, Timpani Heads. Like most drum heads, timpani heads can be found made of two materials: animal skin, typically calf skin or goat skin, and plastic, typically PET film. Plastic heads are durable, weather-resistant, and relatively inexpensive. Thus, they are more commonly used than natural skin heads. However, many professional players prefer skin heads because they feel the heads produce a warmer, better quality timbre. Timpani heads are size-based on the size of the head, not the size of the timpani bowl. For example, a 23-inch timpani may require a 25-inch timpani head. Section 3. Sticks and Mallets. Timpani are typically struck with a special type of drumstick, fittingly called a timpani stick or timpani mallet. Timpani sticks are used in pairs. They have two components, a shaft and a head. The shaft is typically made from wood, usually hickory, cherry, birch, persimmon, or maple, or bamboo, but many also be made from aluminium or graphite. The head of the stick can be constructed from a number of different materials, though felt wrapped around the wood core is the most common. Other core materials include felt and cork, and other wrap materials include leather. Sticks can also have exposed wood heads. These are used as a special effect and in authentic performances of Baroque music. Although it is not commonly written into music, timpanists will change sticks, often many times within the same piece, to suit the nature of the music. However, choice of sticks during performance is entirely subjective and depends on the timpanist's own preference, and occasionally the wishes of the conductor. Thus, most timpanists own a great number of timpani sticks. The weight of the stick, the size of the head, the materials used for the shaft, core and wrap, and the method used to wrap the head all contribute to the timbre the stick produces. In the early 20th century, and before, sticks were often made with whalebone shafts, wood cores, and sponge wraps. Composers of that era often specified sponge-headed sticks. Modern timpanists execute such passages with standard felt mallets. Section 4, in the modern ensemble. Part 1, a set of timpani. A standard set of timpani, sometimes called a timpani console, consists of four drums, roughly 80 centimeters, 31 inches, 75 centimeters, 30 inches, 66 centimeters, 26 inches, and 61 centimeters, 24 inches in diameter. The range of this set is roughly the D below the bass clef to the top line bass clef A. A great majority of the orchestral repertoire can be played using these four drums. However, Leonard Bernstein requires the timpanist to execute both the top line bass clef A flat and the D flat above it on the same drum in the overture to Candide. Adding a 51 cm 20-inch piccolo timpano, the standard set of four extends the range upwards by a few semitones. This is the instrument which I call Stravinsky specifies for the production of the B below mid C in the Rite of Spring, and from which Maurice Ravel expects the D above that in L'Enfant de la Sortie. Walter Piston points out that these small drums, even if available, certainly lack the characteristic resonance and sonority of timpani. Beyond this extended set of five, any added drums are non-standard. Many professional orchestras and symphonists own multiple sets of timpani consisting of both pedal and chain drums, allowing them to execute music that cannot be performed correctly using a standard set of four or five drums. Many schools and ensembles that cannot afford to purchase equipment regularly only have a set of three timpani, which is the more traditional number, sometimes referred to as the orchestral three. It consists of 25 centimetres, 30 inches, 66 centimetres, 26 inches, and 61 centimetres, 24 inches drums. It ranges, extends down only to the F below the bass clef. The drums are set up in an arc around the performer. Traditionally, North American, British, and French timpanists set up their drums with the lowest drum on the left and the highest on the right, while German and Austrian players set them up in the opposite way. Over time, that distinction has blurred. Many German and European players adopted the North American layout, and vice versa. Section 4.2, timpanists. Throughout their education, timpanists are trained as percussionists, and they learn to play all instruments of the percussion family along with timpani. However, when appointed to a principal timpani chair in a professional orchestra or concert band, a timpanist is not required to play any other instruments. In his book, Anatomy of the Orchestra, Norman Delmar writes that a timpanist is king of his own province, and that a good timpanist really does set the standard of the whole orchestra. A member of the percussion section sometimes doubles as an assistant timpanist and plays timpani in some repertoire, such as overtures and concertos, as well as any second timpani parts. Most pieces of music call for one timpanist playing one set of timpani. However, occasionally, composers seek a thicker texture or a greater palette of pitches after multiple players to perform one or many sets of timpani. Gustav Mahler writes for two timpanists in six of his symphonies. Gustav Holst uses two timpanists to achieve the range of notes needed to echo the main theme of Jupiter from the Planet Suite. Using two timpanists is relatively common in the late Romantic and 20th century works for large orchestras, although the early Romantic composer Hector Berlioz calls for eight pairs of timpani played by 10 timpanists in the Grand Messe de Mort. Section 4, Part 3, Timpani Concertos. A few concertos have been written for timpani. The 18th century composer Johann Fischer wrote a symphony for eight timpani and orchestra, which required the solo timpanist to play eight drums simultaneously. In 1983, William Kraft, a well-regarded American percussionist and composer, composed his concerto for timpani and orchestra, which won second prize in the Kennedy Center Fried Beam Awards. Gordon Jacob wrote a concerto for timpani and wind band in 1984. In 1985, John Beck wrote a concerto for timpani and percussion ensemble. In the year 2000, American composer Philip Glass wrote his Concerto Fantasy for two timpanists and orchestra, which has its two soloists, each playing seven timpani. Section 5, Performing Techniques. Part 1, Striking the Drum. For general playing, a timpanist will beat the head approximately 4 inches in from the edge. Beating at this spot produces the round, resonant sound commonly associated with the timpani. A timpani roll is executed by rapidly striking the drum, alternating between left and right sticks, extending the duration of the sound as required and allowing increases or decreases in volume. Anton Bruckner's Seventh Symphony requires a continuous roll on a single drum for over 2.5 minutes. In general, timpanists do not use multiple stroke rolls like those played on the snare drum, as the soft nature of timpani sticks causes the rebound of the stick to be reduced, causing multiple stroke rolls to sound muffled. The tone quality of the drum can be altered without switching or adjusting the tuning of the drum. For example, by playing closer to the edge of the head, the sound becomes thinner. A more staccato sound can be produced by changing the velocity of the stroke. There are many more variations in technique a timpanist uses during the course of playing to produce subtle timbral differences. Section 5, Part 2, Tuning. Prior to playing the instrument, the timpanist must clear the heads by equalizing the tension of each tuning screw. This is done so every spot on the head is tuned to exactly the same pitch. When the head is clear, the timpano produces a beautiful in-tune sound. If the head is not clear, the pitch of the drum will rise or fall after the initial impact, and the drum will produce different pitches at different dynamic levels. In performance, tuning is typically accomplished with a method called interval tuning. Simplers who do not have absolute pitch obtain a reference pitch from a tuning board pitch pipe or note played by another instrument in the course of the performance. Then use multiple intervals to arrive at the desired note. For example, to tune a timpani to G and C, a simplist may sound an A with a tuning fork, then sing, hum, or think a minor third above that A to tune the C, and then sing a perfect fourth below the C to tune the G. Simplists are required to have a well-developed sense of relative pitch, and must develop techniques to tune undetectably and accurately in the middle of the performance. Some timpani are equipped with tuning gauges, which provide a visual indication of the drum's pitch. They are physically connected either to the counter hoop, in which case the gauge indicates how far the counter hoop is pushed down, or the pedal, in which case the gauge indicates the position of the pedal. These gauges are accurate when used correctly. However, when the drum is moved, the overall pitch of the head can change, thus the marks on the gauges are not reliable, unless they have been adjusted immediately preceding the performance. The pitch of the head can also be changed by room temperature and humidity. As a result, many inexperienced timpanists can be caught out by setting gauges in the afternoon before an evening concert, and find the gauges inaccurate during performance, when a few hundred audience members have arrived, increasing both temperature and humidity. This effect also occurs due to changes in weather, especially if an outside performance is to take place. Gauges are especially useful when performing music that involves fast tuning changes that do not allow the player to listen to a new pitch before playing it. Even when gauges are available, good simplists will check their information by ear before play. Occasionally, players use the pedals to retune a drum while playing it. Portamento effects can be achieved by changing the pitch of the drum whilst it can still be heard. This is commonly called a glissando, though this usage term is not strictly correct. The most effective glissandos are those from low notes to high notes, and those performed during rolls. One of the first composers to call for a timpani glissando was Carl Nielsen, who used two sets of timpani, both playing glissandos at the same time, in his Symphony No. 4, The Inextinguishable. Pedaling refers to changing in pitch of the drum with the pedal. It's an alternative term for tuning. In general, timpanists reserve this term for passages where the performer must change the pitch of the drum in the midst of playing. For example, playing two consecutive notes of different pitches on the same drum. Early 20th century composers such as Nielsen, Béla Bartók, Samuel Barber, and Richard Strauss took advantage of the freedom pedal timpani afforded, often giving the timpani the bass line. Section 5, Part 3, Muffling. Muffling, or damping, is an implicit part of playing timpani. Often, timpanists will muffle notes so they only sound for the length indicated by the composer. However, early drums did not resonate nearly as long as modern timpani, so composers often just wrote a note when the timpanist was to hit the drum without worrying about the sustain. Today, timpanists must use their ear and the score of the piece to determine the actual length the note should sound. The typical method of muffling is to place the pads of the fingers against the head while holding onto the timpani stick with the thumb and index finger. Timpanists are required to develop techniques to stop all vibration of the drum heads without making any sound from the contact of their fingers. Muffling is often referred to as muting, which can also refer to playing the drums with mutes on them. See below. Section 5, Part 4, Extended Techniques. It is typical for only one timpano to be struck at a time, but occasionally composers will ask for two notes to be struck at once. This is called a double stop, a term borrowed from the string instrument vocabulary. Ludwig van Beethoven uses this effect in the slow movements of his Ninth Symphony. These demands tend to be made by more composers, who sometimes require more than two notes at once. In this case, a timpanist can hold two sticks in one hand, much like a marimbaist, or more than one timpanist can be employed. Hector Berlioz writes fully voiced chords for eight timpanists, each playing a pair of drums, in Grand Messe de Morse. When the timpani is struck directly in the center of the head, the drums have a sound that is almost completely devoid of tone and resonance. George Gershwin uses this effect in An American in Paris. A variation of this is to strike the head while two fingers of one hand lightly press and release spots near the center. When done correctly, the head will vibrate in a harmonic, much like the similar effect on a string instrument. Resonance can also cause drums not in use to vibrate, causing a more quiet sound to be produced. In orchestral playing, timpanists must avoid this effect, called sympathetic resonance, but composers have exploited this effect in solo pieces, such as Elliot Carter's 8 pieces for 4 timpani. Resonance is produced by damping or muting the drums, and in some cases composers will specify that timpani be played con sordino, with mute, or properti, covered, both of which indicate that the mute should be placed on the head. Simply mutes are typically small pieces of felt or leather. The degree the head is damp can be altered by placing the mute at different spots on the head. Barber specifies that the timpani be played con sordino in a section of Medea's Meditation and Dance of Vengeance. Additionally, mutes are often placed on unused drums to prevent sympathetic resting. Composers will sometimes specify that the timpani should be struck with implements other than timpani sticks. It is common in timpani etudes and solos for performers to play with their hands or fingers. Leonard Bernstein calls for maracas on timpani in both the Jeremiah Symphony and symphonic dances from West Side Story. Edward Elgar attempts to use the timpani to imitate the engine of an ocean liner in his Little Variations by requesting the timpanist to play the snare drumstick. However, snare drumsticks tend to produce a too loud a sound, and since this work premiered, the passage in question has been performed by striking the timpani with coins. Robert W. Smith's Songs of Sailors and Seagulls for Whale Sounds on the largest timpano. This is achieved by moistening the thumb and rubbing it from the edge to the centre of the drum head. This effect can be used on other percussion instruments, notably the tambourine, where it's called a thumb roll. Amongst other techniques used primarily in solo works, such as John Beck's Sonata for the Timpani, is striking the copper bowls. Symphonists tend to be reluctant to strike the bowls at loud dynamic levels or with hard sticks, since copper can be dented easily. On some occasions, a composer may ask for metal objects, commonly an upside-down cymbal, to be placed upon the drum head and then struck or rolled whilst executing a glissando on the drum. Joseph Spanzer used this technique in From a Dark Millennium. Section 6. History. Part 1. Pre-orchestral history. It has been said that the first recorded use of early tympanum was in ancient times, but it is known that they were used in religious ceremonies by Hebrews. In 1188, Cambro Norman, chronicler Gerald of Wales, wrote, "Ireland uses and delights in two instruments only, the harp namely and the tympanum." Arabic nakas, the direct ancestor of most timpani, were brought to 13th century continental Europe by crusaders and Saracens. These drums, which were small, with diameter of about 20 to 22 centimetres or 8 to 8.5 inches, and mounted to the player's belt, were used primarily for military ceremonies. This form of timpani remained in use until the 16th century. In 1457, a Hungarian legatin sent by King Ladislas V carried larger timpani mounted on horseback to the court of King Charles VII in France. This variety of timpani had been used in the Middle East since the 12th century. These drums evolved together with trumpets to be the primary instrument of the cavalry. This practice continues to this day in sections of the British Army, and timpani continues to be paired with trumpets when they enter the classical orchestra. Over the next two centuries, a number of technical improvements were made to timpani. Originally, the head was nailed directly to the shell of the drum. In the 15th century, heads began to be attached in tension plate, a counterhoop that was tied directly to the shell. In the early 16th century, the bindings were replaced by screws. This allowed timpani to become tunable instruments of definite pitch. Section 6, Part 2. Timpani in the Orchestra. Jean-Baptiste Lully was the first known composer to have scored for timpani, which he included in the orchestra for his 1675 opera, Fessy. Other 17th century composers soon followed suit. In music of this time, timpani are almost always tuned with the tonic note of the piece on the high drum and the dominant on the low drum, a perfect fourth apart. Timpani are often treated as transposing instruments in the music of this period. The notes were written as C and G, with the actual pitches indicated at the top of the score, for example, timpani in D and A. Later in the Baroque era, Johann Sebastian Bach wrote a secular cantata titled Tunet ihr Pauken, Erschallet Trompeten, which translates roughly to Sound of Ye Timpani, Sound Trumpets. Naturally, the timpani are placed at the forefront. The piece starts with a timpani solo and the chorus and timpani trade the melody back and forth. Bach reworked this movement in Part 1 of the Christmas Oratorio. Ludwig van Beethoven revolutionized timpani music in the early 19th century. He not only wrote for drums tuned to intervals other than a fourth or fifth, but he gave a prominence to the instrument as an independent voice behind programmatic use, as in Bach's Tonet ihr Pauken. For example, his Violin Concerto, 1806, opens with four solo timpani throats, and the scherzo of his Ninth Symphony, 1824, sets the timpani against the orchestra in a sort of call and response. The next major innovator was Hector Berry. He was the first composer to indicate the exact sticks that should be used, felt covered, wooden, etc., in other of his works. Including Symphonie Fantastique, 1830, he demanded the use of several timpanists at once. Until the late 19th century, symphony were hand-tuned, that is, there was a sequence of screws with T-shaped handles called taps, which altered the tension in the head when tuned by the players. Thus, tuning was a relatively slow operation, and composers had to allow a reasonable amount of time for players to change notes if they wanted to be sure of a true note. The first machine symphony with a single tune handle was developed in 1812. The first pedal symphony originated in Dresden in the 1870s, and is called Dresden Symphony for this reason. However, since vellum was used for the heads of the drums, automated solutions were difficult to implement since the tension would vary unpredictably across the drum. This could be compensated for by hand tuning, but not easily by a pedal drum. Mechanisms continued to improve by the early 20th century. Despite these problems, composers eagerly exploited the opportunities of the new mechanism had to offer. By 1915, Carl Nielsen was demanding glissandos on timpani in his fourth symphony, impossible on the old hand-tuned drums. However, it took Béla Bartók to more fully realise the flexibility the new mechanism had to offer. Many of these timpani required such a range of notes that it would be unthinkable to attempt them without pedal drums. Section 6, Part 3. Timpani outside the orchestra. Later, timpani were adopted into other classical music ensembles such as concert bands. In the 1970s, marching bands and drum bugle corps, which evolved both from traditional marching bands and concert bands, began to include marching timpani. Each player carried a single drum, which was tuned by a hand crank. Marching timpani were heavy and awkward to play, as the drum head was almost to the player's chest. Often, during intricate passages, the timpani players would put their drums on the ground by means of extendable legs, and they would be played more like conventional timpani, but with a single player per drum. In the early 1980s, Drum Corps International, DCI, a drum corps governing body, allowed timpani and other percussion instruments to be permanently grounded. This was the beginning of the end for marching timpani. Eventually, standard concert timpani found their way onto the football fields as part of the front ensemble, and marching timpani fell out of common usage. Timpani is still used by the mounted bands as the household position of the British Army. As rock and roll bands started seeking to diversify their sound, timpani found their way into the studio. Starting in the 1960s, drummers for high-profile rock acts like The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Beach Boys, and Queen incorporated timpani into their music. This led to the use of timpani in progressive rock. Emerson, Lake and Palmer recorded a number of rock covers of classical pieces that utilized timpani. Jazz musicians also experimented with timpani. Sun Ra used it occasionally in his orchestra, played, for example, by percussionist Jim Herdon on the song Reflection in Blue, and El Victor, both recorded in 1957. In 1964, Elvin Jones incorporated timpani into his drum kit on John Coltrane's four-part composition, A Love Supreme. Jonathan Haas is one of the few timpanists who markets himself as a soloist. Haas, who began his career as a solo timpanist in 1980, is notable for performing music from many genres, including jazz, rock, and classical. In fact, he released an album with a rather unconventional jazz band called Jenny H. and the Prisoners of Swing, Glasses Concerto Fantasy, commissioned by Haas, put two soloists in front of the orchestra, an atypical placement for the instruments. Section 8. See also. List of timpani manufacturers. Nakera. Section 9. References. Number 1. Douglas Harper, November 2002. Timpani, Online Etymology Dictionary, retrieved on the 19th of February 2008. Number 2. George Grove, January 2001, in Stanley Sadie. The New Grove Encyclopedia of Music and Musicians, 2nd edition, Grove's Dictionaries of Music, Volume 18, pages 826 to 837, ISBN 1561-592390. Number 3. Robert Bridge, Timpani Construction Paper, retrieved on the 18th of February 2008. Number 4. Beating Retreat page, showing silver drums in the mounted bands. Number 5. Andrew Power, April 1983. Sound Production of the Timpani, Part 1. Percussive Notes 21. 62-64. Percussive Arts and Sciences. Number 6. Saul Goodman, 1948-1988. Modern Method of Timpani. Van Nuys, California, Alfred Publishing Company. Incorporated. ISBN 0-7579-91009. Number 7. Topographia Hilbesina. 3. 11. O'Meary, page 94. Number 8. Krenzer, Bill, December 1969. Beethoven Symphonies, Innovations of an Original Style in Symphony Scoring. Percussionist 7. Pages 55-62, Percussive Art Society. Number 9. Edmund Bowles, 1999. The Impact of Technology on Musical Instruments. Cosmos Journal. Cosmos Club. Number 10. Beatle Retreat page showing an image of mounted bands with timpani in 2008. Section 10. Further reading. Samuel Alder, The Study of Orchestration, W.W. Norton & Company, 3rd edition, 2002. ISBN 0-393-975-72-X. Norman Del Mar, Anatomy of the Orchestra, University of California Press, 1984. ISBN 0-520-050-622. Robert G. Farrell, Percussion in Medieval and Renaissance Dance Music, Theory and Performance, 1997, retrieved February 22nd, 2006. Jeremy Montague, Timpani and Percussion, Yale University Press, 2002, ISBN 0-300-09-337-3. Mitchell Peters, Fundamental Method for Timpani, Alfred Publishing Company, 1993, ISBN 0-7390-2051-X. Dwight Thomas, Timpani, Frequently Asked Questions, retrieved February 4th, 2005. Mark Zutenjic, Letters to Famari, February 8th, 2005. Credits, Beatles for Sale, All Music Guide, retrieved February 18th, 2005. Credits, A Love Supreme, All Music Guide, retrieved February 18th, 2005. Credits, Tubular Bells, All Music Guide, retrieved February 18th, 2005. Kettledrum, 1911, Encyclopedia Britannica, as retrieved from the first reference on February the 26th, 2006. William Craft Biography, Composer John Beale, retrieved May the 21st, 2006. Symphonist, Musical Technician, Cloyd E. Duff, Principal Timpani, retired, Cleveland Orchestra. Timpani, George Grove, in Stanley Sadie, The New Grove Encyclopedia of Musical Musicians, 2nd edition, Grove Dictionaries of Music, Volume 18, pages 826-837, ISBN 156-159-2390. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.